This is the Lifted Life Podcast. We created the show to help you live a lifted life. Let's do it.
Welcome back, everybody. Today's episode 41, The Healing Power of Reframing.
And I couldn't be more excited because this topic was the hot topic on our date night last night, right? Sort of.
Yeah.
We didn't really realize it, but when we were trying to figure out what to talk about today, which I put out a shout out in the Lifted Life group on Facebook and didn't get any good ideas. Not that I didn't get any good ideas. I didn't get any ideas, but someone did talk to me about magnesium, which was another side tangent. Anyway, so we didn't get any big ideas from the group at all, but we did come up with this because we had just been talking about it. And I had kind of thought about how I wanted to follow up with last week's podcast because I was mid-migraine when we recorded. Got lots of nice comments from our listeners, so thank you for being so caring. I'm pleased to report I do feel much better this week. I've been on my lower carb, no sugar, no gluten kick for the past 7 days. And in addition to that, trying to really move my body more and also release stress and reduce my stress. So thank you for all your concern. But even in that context of migraines and physical pain, this idea of reframing and reimagining your future and not just creating a future based on your past, it all comes up, whether you're talking about physical pain or emotional pain. And we were talking about this, I think, in the car ride mostly.
Yeah.
But yeah, what comes to mind for you?
Well, I was telling you that I'm starting to finish Dr. Joe Dispenza's book about, Becoming Supernatural. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, but you're not finishing it, are you?
Well, I'm picking it back up.
There you go.
I put it on hold, and now I'm picking it back up.
Mm-hmm.
Are we racing to see who can finish it first?
No.
Okay.
Just that I thought you said you were in chapter one or two, so it feels a little bit, like, let's be honest with our listeners here. I mean, to be honest too, I just attended his live stream that was a $50 experience, totally worth it. So I listened to him speak for 2.5 hours yesterday, and I'm also reading his book, Becoming Supernatural. And so his ideas are very top of mind right now. So if you haven't heard of Dr. Joe Dispenza, go check him out right away. Pause the show.
But what's,
and then come back.
What sparked our conversation was I picked up a piece that he had left, and basically, for me, I always break it down into computers because that makes more sense to me than how our biology works. But what the analogy I got from it was that your memories are like ones and zeros, like you're just like a computer would store information. Your brain stores memories as ones and zeros. So to me, it was logical. You can just change the zero to a one if you want to. And that's what's kind of sparked.
But that's not true. Don't you?
Yeah.
That's the argument I can hear people saying.
Our conversation was, if you believe that the past isn't real, like the past happened, and the only thing that's making it real is your memory of the past.
Right.
Like, it's not, okay, maybe people argue it is happening now in quantum theory, but in the current now that you're in, that past doesn't exist anymore. And the only way that it exists is your memory of it.
Mm-hmm.
If that's true, you can just change your memory and you can change your past.
Right. So to try to make this big idea more concrete, let's just say your stepdad, when you were 5, told you you're an idiot.
Yeah, don't go crazy. Go something light. Thank you.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you're an idiot. I'm just grabbing. This is not a true story for either of us. I'm just trying to grab something random that we could.
But I think most people would relate with, there is an incident that happened in their life and it stuck with them forever.
Right. And it happened one time.
One time.
And yet, so that bad guy or bad girl or whoever was mean or was acting out of love, they did this one thing. Maybe it was a bully in school, whatevsy. But then your mind relives it again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And who is the real bad guy is kind of the question that I like to ask. Is it the person who did it once or the person who's done that to your body? Because the body can't tell the difference between real and imagined from in the mind.
That's true. Yeah.
So when you imagine something happening, you're reliving it and doing it to yourself.
And you're also creating that pathway in your brain and you're strengthening it and you're making it more real. And
which comes full circle to why am I having these migraines? Now I'm frustrated that I have a migraine. Right. Now I'm living from the past, which is...
You're reinforcing your brain. This is useful. Keep it top of mind. Keep it.
Give this your energy and your attention. What you give your attention to gets more energy and grows. Mm-hmm. But you can apply this to anything. Any physical pain you're having, emotional pain, anywhere. You can take a look and see how you're reliving it. You're re-solidifying that neuropathway in the brain.
And what you said though is I can hear people listening to this and saying, but it happened. It really happened and it's true. And no one's saying that it's not true. I think what we're saying is it's not useful.
To continue to put yourself or through
is
it.
If it is useful, I guess keep thinking it. But I would say it's not.
Right. Right. And so I think that what we're kind of challenging is this idea of reframing. So you can look back, that was terrible. That's so sad. Woe is me. I was so little and I didn't know what to do. And you can keep telling that same story, which puts you as the victim. Or you can begin to reframe. You can change one of the ones to a zero. I don't even know what that means.
You need to change more than just one, just saying.
I don't even get it because that's not how my mind works. But for some people out there, like, yeah, one, zero, thank you. I get that. Mm-hmm. So go back, change a couple ones and zeros. I'm actually glad that happened to me. This changed me into who I am. This made me stronger. This taught me how I don't want to treat other people. This shows me how I need to treat myself because I know now I don't want to treat myself this way. You can begin to reframe. And it's not about saying, no, that never happened, and trying to convince yourself of something and become delusional. That's not at all what we're saying. We're instead saying that how you tell your story matters. And we've talked about that again and again in this podcast, right? The power of storytelling. Mm-hmm. And so for this idea, we're talking about reframing the way you tell the stories of your past, especially if they're painful, especially if you are being the bad guy in your own situation by making your body relive that emotion.
Yeah, I think that's the important part, is when you're rethinking it, you are reliving it, and your body is creating chemicals to have that experience again. And that's why it's so important to not do that.
Well, and it's okay, but how do I not do that? And I would say a big part of Dr. Joe's work is meditation.
Yeah.
And that was what our last episode was about, was, and as well as episode 4, and I'm sure a future one will be about again. It's like, why do you keep talking about meditation? That's one tiny thing. But what we're really talking about is connecting to something deeper, something bigger, helping your focus, which is typically very narrow, this happened, that happened, and make it much more broad and open. And so one of the things he talks about is opening your heart. And we were kind of talking about, do you know what that means, and or what that feels like?
Yeah.
That was more like, do you know what that feels like? Because I've had various meditation experiences and I can't ever say it felt really like a heart opening, maybe a heart expanding or a heart magnetizing. But I think opening just kind of weirds me out. Like I kept,
we had the conversation around that as well, is that everyone perceives the words differently. So for me, vibration is a very, the word I resonate with, well, I like that word.
Mm-hmm.
I can see some people think, what the hell is that? Why? And then, like, you know, the heart opening, that's something that I don't necessarily resonate with, but we know that feeling is what we all resonate with. That's what we all are after, is the feeling. So that's why we were saying, well, what does that feel like? Because maybe I can resonate with something that is what the heart coherence is, or is what the open heart is. But yeah, to me, I had a hard time with that as well.
Yeah. And I think that's an important lesson too when it comes to reframing. If you're telling a story that's still heavy, that still puts you in the victim seat, how can you tell the story in a different way? Maybe using different words, different signposts to give yourself that power back, to help you see you are driving your life. You are the driver of this bus. That's the really exciting, once you realize you are the creator of your own reality.
Yeah.
And if there's something painful that you keep reliving, how can you rewrite that story in a way that's useful for you?
Yeah. I also believe that your thoughts signal to the universe what you want, and that's how you attract into your life things.
Could I challenge you a little? Maybe I believe, and you can tell me, your thoughts actually create a chemical reaction in your body, which creates emotion, and emotion is what creates the frequency. So if thought alone, if you don't believe it, so thought...
But thought's what starts the whole thing.
Yes, but so, thought leads... But you have to believe it. So thought that's withheld long enough that you believe then creates a chemical reaction. Okay. So if you're sitting here thinking, I'm the most beautiful person in the world, but really you have a complex and you feel ugly, you can say, I'm really beautiful and I'm... But
so,
it,
so that's a good distinction. Not a single thought. But if you think the same thought enough times, it becomes a belief.
A sustained thought. Right. But don't you think some people could still just surface level think it? So a sustained thought that does become a belief.
Right, right. So it's just because like right now, I can't think of the last thought I had, but say I think I'm hungry. I'm not saying that just by that thought passing through my brain that I'm attracting food. What I'm saying is that in the example we're giving, some people are reliving these things over many, many, many years, reliving those things that happened to them. That thought becomes a belief because they're rethinking it over and over, and eventually it becomes a belief.
But it becomes a belief because, and that's what I wanted to interject really quick, it becomes a belief because they have the sustained thought and they look for evidence of it.
Yeah.
So, how do you change? Reaction, right? Yeah, but how do you change a belief? How do you change your, you create the thought in your mind and then you look for evidence of it. That's how it becomes a belief, and you can find evidence for any belief you want.
I believe
that you're not good enough, that you're way good enough, that you're whole, that you're loved, that you're ugly, that you're, you can find evidence because that's what our brain will do. It's just this problem solving machine. And so I just wanted to interject that because I think it's really important for people to understand, how do I get from thought to belief to feeling? Mm-hmm. It's about the evidence that you look for and repetition. For sure.
Yeah.
Okay. But now did you forget what you were going to say?
No, I feel like there's an interjection there. I mean, I think there is an argument to have the feeling first, but I don't know where that quite ties, and that's not really what we're talking about.
That's a total chicken and the egg thing too.
Yeah. But what I was going to say was, for me personally, I've experienced that, and I think I still have it a little bit, where I know it's a thought, or it's not a thought. I know it's a memory, and I feel like sometimes... disingenuous by changing it because I feel like I'm lying to myself. But I think what you said in the very beginning kind of negates all that, is that, is it useful? Mm-hmm. It's not useful to argue if it's true or not.
And also the reason you don't want to let it go is because you fought for your suffering for so long. Yeah. You fought for that place of this. I was wronged.
Yeah.
I was wronged. This should not have happened. Life's not fair. But the more you continue to fight for your suffering, the more you get to keep it.
That's the whole thing of keeping the thought around and then attracting those things and finding evidence for them. Like that's what we're trying to say, is that you literally can change at least how you feel about the thought.
Yeah, or change the past.
Yeah.
I think that's the really mystical way of saying reframing, is we're talking about changing the past. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, that's trippy. Because it is. But you can change the past in some way by changing the story that you're telling about it, which then changes every single thing about the way you behave and the way you recall the story. That's how powerful of a creator you are, that you can change the past in a way.
No, I've heard it said that way a lot, and I've always hung up on it until kind of how we worked through that. I'm like, well, okay, I guess that is possible to change the past.
Mm-hmm.
Or to change the way you think about the past.
Right. Oh, I just realized I do not have a review up and ready, but I can find it really quick as far as who this show is brought to you by. Let's see. Ooh, this was fun. This is a little bit of tooting my own horn, but it's okay. I mean, who's going to toot it?
Who's going to stop you?
This was a review of our mood boosting probiotic by Diane, who gave us 5 stars and said, Sylvia gives the best customer service. And she said, customer service is the best. Sylvia, quote, queen bee at Lifted and currently head of hashtag all the things, parentheses, including customer service, end quote, I think I had said that in one of the emails, contacted me to ensure that I knew she was available for me if I had any concerns about this probiotic. After taking her suggestions in the email, I was able to take the probiotic despite my sensitive stomach. I gave 5 stars for flavor because there is no flavor as a probiotic should be. That was her side note, because Amazon asks questions about, like, is it easy to swallow? Whatever.
Oh, really? I didn't know they asked.
Yeah, there's a couple. Like, how do you rate it for mental health? How do you rate it? So it's a whole thing. Mm-hmm. But basically, on that note of flavor, we do always say if you have a sensitive stomach or you're nervous about taking a probiotic, it's quite all right to open the capsule and just pour a teeny tiny bit into some applesauce or even water or a smoothie to give your body time to get used to the good bacteria, because sometimes it can create a little bit of a die-off, which basically means all that good bacteria comes in and says, we're taking over, and the bad guys are like, no, no, and they put up a fight, and that is essentially what the die-off reaction can be. Some people are like, I took 2 from the start and felt fine. Iron stomach a go-go, that's great. Not everybody's like that. So if you're more sensitive, slow and low is what I say. So thank you for that review, Diane. We appreciate you. Any other finishing final thoughts about life, rewriting the past?
I feel like we did pretty good. I feel like you gave examples of how to do the things we said to do.
Yeah. We've been keeping these episodes, I mean, right around this time frame. Yeah. We're running this as a tight ship. We got kids home for summer. We got to get to the store to get more groceries. Mm-hmm. That's a wrap, people. Thanks so much for tuning in. As always, we appreciate you, and we'll see you next week.